This episode of Zero to Travel is brought to you by the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder with 7 drive modes. The Pathfinder's available intelligent 4x4 is built for even the most epic journeys. Learn more at NissanUSA.com.
You always hear about the elephant, the rhino, but like the only reason that thing's alive anymore is because of these guys.
That was a clip from one of my guests today who is referring to the Rangers. These are the people who are responsible for protecting the wildlife in Kenya. They have spent a lot of time in some of Kenya's most incredible wild spaces and realize that the people protecting these spaces are struggling due to COVID, due to the drop in tourism, and they decided to do something about it. So they went out, they bought 2 tuk-tuks, and they're going to drive them 6,000 kilometers from the equator in Kenya, all the way to Cape Town, South Africa, to raise awareness, to raise money for the Rangers, and to combine their passions for adventure, travel, and conservation. And I always love when people take a look at the things they love and figure out how to combine them and make a difference in the world. That's what these guys are doing. And I think what makes this interview really interesting is that they're in the preparation phase. They haven't left yet. They're leaving in a few weeks at the time of this recording. So if you have ever had some crazy ideas or you just enjoy hearing about other people's adventures, you're going to get to hear an interview that's happening at a very interesting time before the trip, kind of when they're trying to figure everything out and work through it all and make it happen and really make a difference. So you get the idea, and then sometimes people come on the show and they've already done the thing, but these guys haven't done the thing yet. So it's a very interesting conversation. You'll hear what it was like growing up in Kenya, how they came up with this idea, why they're doing it, the heart and soul behind their mission, and how you can support it, and so much more. It's all happening in today's show. Plus, a shout out to, quote, a boring small town boy who never traveled anywhere, end quote, who has now made travel a central part of his life, how he's doing it. And, you know, I always love to highlight people in this listening community. So you'll hear that story and more right now. Buckle up, strap in. Thanks for being here, and welcome to the Zero to Travel podcast, my friend.
You're listening to the Zero to Travel podcast, where we explore exciting travel-based work, lifestyle, and business opportunities, helping you to achieve your wildest travel dreams. And now your host, world wanderer and travel junkie, Jason Moore.
Hey, what's up? It's Jason with ZeroToTravel.com. Welcome to the show. Thanks for hanging out, letting me bring a little travel into your ears today. This is the show to help you travel the world on your terms to fill your life with as much travel as you desire, no matter what your situation or experience. As you heard at the top, these boys are gearing up for quite an adventure. 6,000 kilometers in a tuk-tuk. Have you ridden in a tuk-tuk before? Not the most comfortable way of traveling long distances. Even the short tuk-tuk rides I've taken have been a little bumpy, to say the least. They've actually solved that problem already. You'll hear how they've solved several of their problems along the way, and that's really the stage of this adventure they're in right now, is they're saying, hey, you know, we're going to combine our love of adventure and travel with our passion for communities and conservation and do something. And just getting on the line with these guys, they have a great energy. I wanted to just zap myself into the room with them and just be around their energy and their vibe. And it's always exciting when you're on the cusp of a trip and you don't quite know how things are going to work out, how things might come together or may not come together. And you'll hear about some of those things in this interview. Stick around on the back end. I want to talk about your radius, your own personal radius, and what I mean by that. And I also want to give a shout out to somebody in this community in just a minute who shared how they are planning their long-term trip. And the subject line I got was, the travel gods told me to say hi. That piqued my interest. I'll share that in a moment. Don't forget, if you ever want to get in touch, jason@zerototravel.com is my email address, and I have a link where you can leave a voice message quite easily. I love to hear from listeners. And before we get into the interview, I do want to give a shout out to somebody who is making that long-term travel life possible. This is John, who said, I've been meaning to connect with you since the first time I stumbled upon one of your Transition to Travel episodes, but I always convinced myself I don't have much of a story to tell, but like a sign from the travel gods, I tuned into your recent Transition to Travel episode, and there you were, telling me to reach out. Goes on to say, I, John, a boring small-town boy who never traveled anywhere, met my future wife, Linda, a well-traveled, food-loving girl from the other side of the world, when we were quite young. Now 14 years together, we've transformed into a travel and food-obsessed duo. We've spent much of that time working our way through successful careers in the retail world, squeezing every ounce of adventure out of our 2 to 3 weeks vacation each year. We yearned for more travel, but what could we do? I remember one specific moment on a flight home from Bangkok when we looked at each other and asked, how can we make travel a full-time job? I immediately started blogging over at eatsleepdiscover.com, but quickly ran out of content with such limited travel time, so that hobby's been on hold for a while. We couldn't figure out the job part, but in seeking other options, I discovered the early retirement movement. So for the last 7 years, we've been aggressively saving and investing about 35 to 45% of our income as a means to cut ourselves free and retire by 45. The plan was to simply keep working until that time, but COVID had other plans. Financially, we were blessed to keep our jobs and continue saving even more money. But when the world said that we couldn't travel anymore, we realized how much we took it for granted. We were postponing our travel dreams for another day. But what if that day never comes? What if we get sick? Why don't we enjoy ourselves now? So last December, we decided that we would ride out this pandemic, and hopefully come August 2022, we will quit our jobs and buy that one-way ticket. With any luck, our investments will continue to grow and still be good to go by the time my 45th birthday rolls around. And maybe we will find some location-independent passions to keep us busy and employed until that time. We're going to take this break while we're still young and able to seek out street food in the Bangkok heat. That is, whenever this world gets back to normal. With all that said, thanks for curating wonderful content and keeping the dream alive for many years between my limited vacation days. Thank you, John and Linda. Congratulations. I just wanted to give you some love here on the pod because you're finding a way with your situation, right? And I love the reminder there that there are no guarantees, right? I mean, I think the questions you say about postponing your travels for another day, what if that day never comes? What if you get sick? Why not enjoy yourselves now? And it's always a tricky line, right? You have to balance the financial stuff with the career and different things you might want to do. But those are also important questions to ask. So anyway, just wanted to give you a shout out, invite anybody else to get in touch and say thanks once again to all of you listening and to you, yes, you, with your headphones in or whatever you're doing right now, just for being a part of this listening community. You're so very much appreciated. And I know I say it often, but I just want to say thanks. This is a community-powered show. Thanks for being here. Now, let's get into today's interview, and I will see you on the other side, my friend. Wait, we have the whole gang here.
Yeah, we got another member.
Is three too many? Will that be too busy?
But we can have one on the mic, so we can pass it around. We can work it out.
Yeah, with the mic we can pass it, which is a lot.
You can work it out. All right. Well, what are you guys doing in Kenya in the first place?
So we both. So me and Jasper were both born here. We're brothers. We've lived here almost all our lives, sort of going in and out of school in other countries and doing some traveling. But yeah, we're just back here because of the coronavirus, really. It sort of closed off all traveling opportunities. I was meant to be in Australia. And
yeah, I was living in Indonesia I was working with him in Indonesia, actually, for a year beforehand. Then I did a year cruising around, went through to Papua New Guinea, and then up through India, Middle East, and then home. And then I was meant to be going, moving to Canada. And then, yeah, coronavirus came and scuppered all the plans.
All right. Well, first of all, because we got three of you here, so it would be good, I think, for people listening, if each of you introduces yourself so we know whose voice is whose.
Got you.
And then we'll get into what you guys are up to. So go ahead and do that if you don't mind.
Okay. Hi, I'm Jasper. And yeah, first member of Took South.
Hi, I am Josh. I am a filmmaker who makes TikToks at 29 years old.
Hi. I'm Ivo. So I'm Jasper's little brother. Just finished uni and living out here now. I'm in charge of the build of the tuk-tuk, which is a bit scary, considering I'm actually a biologist.
Well, I probably should have qualified.
Okay. I don't even know where to begin. All right. Let's talk about your project first. So you've purchased one tuk-tuk or two? You have two tuk-tuks, and your plan is to drive basically 6,000 kilometers from Kenya to Cape Town to raise money for Rangers.
And that is correct.
Josh, you want to explain quickly who the Rangers are and what they do and why they need money?
Okay, so the Rangers here are people who are protecting the parks and conservancies and the endangered animals. And a lot of their funding, a lot of the time from these conservancies, is from tourism. So when COVID came along, it meant that they lost a vast portion of that funding. And they're now having to deal with people who have also lost their jobs in tourism, who are resorting to last ditch scenario. Like, how can I feed my family? There's animals over there that we can eat. Like, basically, let's go and try and pillage the natural resources of certain areas around here. So the Rangers are working on a reduced salary and they're dealing with more incidents. And we noticed this through filming around in the local parks. So we'd be there filming, like, you know, TikTok videos essentially about fishing and like exploring waterfalls and stuff. And then we'd realize that we were the only people in the parks. So we started asking questions to the Rangers about like, what's going on here? How's your job suffered? Like, what is happening? And it turned out that people were actually suffering. So we decided to try and dig more, find out more information. And then at the end of it, we just thought we would actually like try and help these guys out.
So you were just filming just like sort of fun travel things.
Yes.
Originally,
yeah, exactly.
Right?
So we do a bit of everything. We do a bit of sustainability, conservation, and also the adventure side of it. So that's what our interests lie in. And that's what we make the best content about. And this Rangers thing just sort of sprang out as being something which actually deserved a bit more attention and maybe a bit more of a mature approach rather than just like making TikToks, fishing in streams and stuff. We decided to try and like level up our game.
Yeah. Have a little more purpose behind, a little more mission, I guess. Did you grow up in Kenya as well?
I am from Chester. So I have escaped from a small village near Manchester, about 400 people, a lot of cows, a lot of sheep, a lot of cricket, if you know what cricket is, Jason.
Yeah, I think so. Those are those animals that make a lot of noise at night, right? No, those are crickets. Yeah. Sorry. Okay, yeah. Big long paddle, right?
Yeah, I come from a very sleepy little English village.
Okay, and how did you meet these guys over here, Jasper and Ivor?
So Jasper was my university friend, and met him in 2012. And he told me he was from Kenya and I couldn't quite believe it, but it turned out he actually was from Kenya. And then he invited me to come out here a couple of times. We've been on some adventures together in Kenya. So like driving around on safari into the north near to Ethiopia the second time I came out here. And then post university, we've sort of both been cruising around Southeast Asia quite a lot, just basically trying to not come home.
Yeah. So did you just save up a bunch of money and then start traveling?
I'll do me first and then Jasper can describe what he does. But I basically worked whilst traveling. So I got a job in Costa Rica as a volunteer coordinator with a company called GVI. And then I got offered a posting in Singapore as a field biologist. So basically my job was to take kids out on field trips all around Southeast Asia. So I managed to, I didn't have any money to start with, but I began to like make money as I went along. And Jasper is a sculptor.
Yeah. I mainly make my money through it's sort of a mixture between sculpture and crafts. It's a combination of wood, metal, and then a welded frame, and then sort of naturally molted feathers that I've collected around the world when I'm traveling, and aviaries I've visited and bird rehabilitations I've visited. When their birds go through molt, they save their feathers for me, and then I basically cook them up into just these wall hangings and sell them, which has actually provided a pretty good capacity for ever since I left university. I haven't really had to commit to an office job. I can just go home and I can do 12, 13 hours a day quite easily because you just listen to your podcasts, your audiobooks, and it's very enjoyable. And I enjoy the process of making these. Then I have an exhibition and then I'll go off traveling for like half a year or a year. And so, yeah, I went from uni, I went through South America for a while, spent a lot of time in the Amazon, went by boat from Peru up the Amazon River into Colombia. And there I found a lot of, I visited a lot of the tribes that use feathers, the Mesoamerican tribes that use feathers. And then that inspired me a bit more. And then after that, I went and moved to Indonesia and I got a job helping manage a couple of private islands there that these Australian investment bankers own. And that was a really great job because you could do 15 days on and then you get 8 days off to go traveling wherever you want. And we were, our islands were quite close. And then Josh came and joined me on the job after I left. Well, we had a small crossover period. So we both worked on these islands in Indonesia.
Well, where did you find that gig? That seems like a pretty obscure one.
Okay, so Ivor and I, we grew up on a game conservancy, which is part of why we really were really invested in the concept of rangers and protecting wildlife. Because our closest town or village when we where we grew up is sort of a half an hour, 45-minute drive away, like really, really in the sticks. But with a lot of wildlife, like elephants, giraffes, lions, everywhere around. Through that, basically, the Long Run is an institution that focuses on sustainable eco resorts. And there was one of these eco resorts on this conservancy. And yeah, through those connections, the Long Runs have these meetings every year. And the owners of this met these Indonesians. I'm really into diving and free diving. And so through that, they were like, oh, we know a guy that could be perfect for this job. He really likes living underwater. Well, like spending a lot of time underwater. And they said, perfect, send him on. And yeah, that's how I got the job. And then I gave it to Josh.
Now, I wanted to ask Ivor about growing up in Kenya, what that experience was like and what brought your parents there?
Well, the parents were both born here. I had both their sets of parents. So our grandparents moved out after the war. They moved out here, were sort of done with Europe, and they moved out in the 50s sort of time. And then, yeah, through that, parents grew up here. And I mean, I was the last of three kids. And yeah, I was, as Jasper said, I grew up on the edge of this conservancy, and it was just amazing. Like, as a small child, just having the sort of freedom to just charge off into the bush whenever we wanted. We had a little like 50cc monkey bike. I don't know if that's relatable. It's like a tiny little thing. And me and Jasper and Cleo, our sister, used to boost around on that the whole time out in the wild. It was really, really fun.
Feral
existence. And sort of, yeah, no shoes living sort of thing, which was great. We've since moved from there, like due to business and things like that. It was actually impossible to still live there. But until I was about 12, I grew up there. So I think it was very valuable in sort of giving you a great appreciation of how much fun the outdoor stuff can be. And yeah, ever since that, we've been addicted to doing all of that cruising out. Like the north, just north of our town, is the most amazing wild land you've ever seen. Like the different habitats that we have around here from 3 hours from this place is crazy. So,
and Chester has a zoo. So we have a zoo in Chester, if you will.
Thanks for that.
But yeah, it's an amazing place to grow up. And yeah, even at this age, it's an awesome place to work and cruise around in, really.
But then you said you were going to school around...
Yeah, so
I went to a bit. Was that after 12 years old? Or
yeah, that was after.
Okay,
the first bit. Yeah, we were chucked into a school here, and then shipped off to England. And yeah, finished my schooling there at university in Bristol, which was a bit different, very city life. But yeah, it was fun. It was a different experience, and I really enjoyed it. It's fun in different ways. But yeah, I'm glad to sort of be back here. It's wholesome out here.
We'll get back to the interview in just a moment. This episode of Zero to Travel is presented by the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. From muddy jungle paths and snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder has the capability to take you to some of the most epic destinations on Earth. We're excited to partner with Nissan because our listeners know we love to celebrate the joy of exploring the world and finding the best off-the-beaten-path destinations to visit. And there's no better vehicle for that than the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. With 7 drive modes, the Pathfinder's available intelligent 4x4 is built for even the most epic journeys, and it even has the best towing capacity in its class, up to 6,000 pounds, so you can bring the fun with you. But Nissan also knows that it's not just about where you go. In a Pathfinder, the real fun comes from getting there, and that's something we love celebrating here on the Zero to Travel podcast. We believe that life is about finding that joy within the journey itself, and that's why we're thrilled to partner with Nissan to celebrate adventurers everywhere. So thanks again to Nissan for sponsoring this episode of Zero to Travel and for the reminder to chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures and enjoy the ride along the way. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. Now, back to the show. Josh, I mean, tell us about your impressions of Kenya.
Of Kenya? It is ridiculous out here. Like, you can go for a walk in the bush, just the birds that you're seeing, the wildlife. I mean, it is scary that things out here can eat you if you are like wandering, because we like going into pretty wild areas where we won't see anyone else. Fortunately, I guess that means that there's a lot of things that can actually eat you. So like, you can be crossing a stream and then there will be a story being told about someone who was bitten in that stream 2 weeks ago by a crocodile. And so like, there's stuff like that, which is, it's very different from Chester in that way. But it is incredible. Like it's just a lot of it is untouched wilderness. And coming from England, there is no, you've got parks and stuff, but really there is no untouched wilderness. We uprooted all of our trees years ago and replaced it with farming fields. Whereas here it's quite cool to walk somewhere where a lot of it is unchanged. So yeah, it's amazing.
Jasper, I wanted to ask you for if you have a website for your art or something, because what you described was... Yeah, it was hard to conceptualize, or I conceptualized a lot of things.
If we held
one
up, maybe you could conceptualize it for your listeners.
I wanted to, people to be able to check it out.
That's good for audio format. I actually haven't really got round to making one of those yet. It sounds very bad, but normally it's gone by word of mouth, and that's normally been enough. I do have an Instagram account that has some on, but that's sort of my Instagram account for traveling and feathers.
Okay, what is that? We'll put it in the show notes.
Oh, it's just called Jasper. Jasper.horsey. Jasper full stop horsey.
Okay, I wanted to check it out.
Oh, cheers, man.
Yeah, we'll push him to get one.
All right, so yeah, I mean, you guys are all buddies. You're hanging out there. You decide to do this project. Now, where are you at with the project? I mean, you've purchased the tuk-tuks.
Yeah.
You're trying to raise the money. Are you raising the money and then going? Where are you right now at the time of recording?
So presently, Josh and I had a bit of money saved from working on these islands, and we've essentially just poured all of it into these tuk-tuks, which are surprisingly expensive vehicles for how small they are. But
how much does a tuk-tuk cost?
So we've spent about $12,000 on them, and then a bit more, which is quite a lot because we both worked in tourism. Obviously the tourism industry, especially in the tropics, has collapsed. Like the islands we worked on in Indonesia, they haven't been open for the last year and a half. So, but yeah, the islands we worked on in Indonesia haven't been open for ages, but we figured that this would be a great way of spending our time raising money, raising awareness, and also just having a really good mission. So we bought the two tuk-tuks. We've been into one of the salvage yards in our local town, and we have gone to a couple of wrecked Suzukis, and we've ripped out their seats, because the tuk-tuk stock seats are these horrible, really uncomfortable bench seats. So then we've welded a few frames together for these nice sort of likes. They're pseudo bucket chairs, and then we've welded them in, and then we've gone into another car and we pilfered a couple of other seats out of the back. And then, so rather than the bench seat in the passenger tuk-tuk, we have another two seats that you can have the over the shoulder seat belt, because they only had the waist seat belts, and they're famously very unstable vehicles. So
when they do roll, we want to be properly, especially for the type of terrain we'll be taking them through.
It's pretty much guaranteed that it will roll at some point, right?
Probably.
Well,
I hope not.
We're expecting it.
Yeah, on our...
And we put a roll cage in. We've made a custom-made roll cage out of these two series of 2-inch pipe that we bought, and then we took it to our pipe bender, and now it's a lot stockier for if it does roll.
I saw that video on TikTok. That's cool. I always love when you just find somebody somewhere who's just a genius at what they do, right? Like that guy looked like he knew how to bend pipes perfectly and so welded everything perfectly. I'm just like, this guy is just a genius at this. It's always interesting to meet people like that along the way and like just geniuses at their craft, and they're just like kind of practicing their craft in this one part of the world, you know?
Yeah.
Especially here, because it was like none of that stuff. So when we went to do that build, like you saw the machines he was using. There's no electronics or anything like that on. That was a manual hydraulic pipe bender. And on his first go with the tape measure. So he just sort of tape measured out, got to the tuk-tuk, sort of did a couple of measurements, bent it out. And on his first go, he was out by, I think it was 1.5 centimeters on each side for the perfect shape of the pre-existing roll cage. It was crazy to see. And yeah, he just knew. He would just look at things and be like, oh yeah, of course. Chopping out the brackets for it to go on, like for it to attach to the frame. He just got a bit of cardboard. And we just sort of put it in, chop a bit off, put it back in, chop a little bit more. And then it's just a perfect mount for it using a piece of cardboard. It was special to see.
It's crazy. So your website is tooksouth.com, right? And then you have some links there to support the expedition. I mean, when are you guys leaving?
Ooh, the 23rd.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're leaving in about 3 weeks-ish.
If we can get it working.
I think it'll be working.
Yeah.
Me too.
And you said you're following the story. Does that mean, I mean, this issue that you're covering and talking about extends beyond Kenya, right, to other concerns?
Yeah. So if you think Kenya is a pretty big one for safaris, so like if people are going to go on safari during this quite risky time, they will probably be choosing places like the Masai Mara. And Kenya is already quite popular as a destination for tourists. But you think about these other countries that do have parks and conservancies and rangers that will be getting even less tourists than Kenya, then they, in theory, will be suffering more. And rangers are throughout Africa trying to protect wildlife. So we were interested to see what it was like outside of Kenya, which is why we wanted to leave Kenya and go and follow the story with some cameras and make this documentary. But we also wanted to raise money for the people trying to protect the wildlife, which is why we're doing it in 2 tuk-tuks to try and raise money for rangers.
From some of the videos I watched, it seems like some of the rangers, they, even though their pay has been cut in half or more, they're still working. They're still doing their job. It just seems like there's a really strong connection with their desire to protect.
Yeah, definitely. There's a love for it there. There's like one of the last guys that we interviewed at Barana Conservancy was a guy called Koloku, who was the head ranger for the rhinos and lions. And he was saying in his interview, like, look, I am on massively reduced pay here, but I really love my job. I love these animals. So it was pretty inspirational. And that's why we ended up being like, right, sod it. Like, we do need to raise some money for these people, because you're meeting these incredible characters who are doing these selfless acts to try and keep these animals protected.
And the wild spaces themselves as well. Because what we found, it's not just when we were doing all these safaris and collecting a footage, it served a nice sort of double purpose in that we could cruise into these really remote areas, these long safaris, to the point where like rule of law broke down. Every one of these tribes members in some of these northern areas where we've been near the Ethiopian border, I mean, all of them are got AKs. Even the kids have AKs. Like it really is just the Wild Wild West up there. But in doing so, what we saw was, yes, there was animals being impacted quite severely, but also like the increase in charcoaling, the chopping down of all these trees, because all of the And the logging of hardwoods, sandalwood, which is a type of wood that you extract it, sort of essential oil, and is used in all sorts of sort of homeopathy and everything. The aloe vera plant that is used to make alcohol, all of these plants are being absolutely decimated purely because, yeah, the trickle-down effect of the collapse of the tourism industry meant that people and just people losing their jobs as a net effect of corona meant that people were just struggling to survive and taking to exploiting natural resources as a way of doing so. So we thought, okay, let's go on this mission, but let's try and see, like, cover its impact through the humanitarian lens, which coronavirus has mainly looked at through, but also let's just see what's happening to the actual wild spaces and try document that. Because yes, the rangers are trying to protect the wild spaces, but it's not just about the animals in them. It's about, and also about visiting these places.
Yeah. It's interesting because a lot of times, you know, when we talk about like conscious travel or sustainable travel, it's like, well, should I go on this flight? Because, you know, I'm contributing to CO2 emissions, and there are all these questions, right? But then you take tourism away and there are other ramifications in the local community, which like what you guys are saying is impacting the environment, right? You're talking about people, you know, burning down trees they're not supposed to, and you know, creating coal and all these different other things that you're saying are an effect of the drop in tourism due to COVID, correct?
That's definitely correct. Like, you do realize that obviously tourism you can get it wrong and you can get it right. But if you are in a lodge based within a community, and I think what people keep on calling it to us is the four C's. So it's like commerce, conservation, community, and culture. And basically they say that if they try and keep those values in the way they run their business, then the area prospers and the business is successful. So the island that me and Jasper used to work at, the surrounding seas were getting pillaged for fish, as in there was no structure for fishing. So you could be getting trawling boats coming in, trawling, long lining. The coral was getting stuffed. The sedimentation was up. The area was just getting pillaged. And the resorts that we worked for, Chembarak and Nicoy Islands, they put their foot down and said, right, we're going to set up an MPA. We're going to get people together to fund it, to manage it. And we're just going to try and protect this area of sea that is around these islands and make sure that it will be healthy for years to come. And they did this pretty successfully. And now there is a 180,000 kilometer marine protected area just south of Singapore, which was pretty much the driving force behind setting it up was these two resorts, Nicoy Island and Chembarak Island. So I think that is a good example of what you were saying.
I mean, that's kind of what it takes, right? It's like if everybody's doing their part, some people are able to do a bit more, and we can just do that in places all over the world and areas that people are from. Because it's hard when you look at it as a global problem, it's overwhelming, right? You're like, well, what could I possibly do, right? But then I look at you three guys and you're like, well, we're going to buy these two tuk-tuks and we're going to raise awareness around things, you know, around this issue. And now you're talking about it, and these conversations can make a difference, you know? So I appreciate that about what you guys are doing. I mean, what is this whole experience and like the decision to do this? And I know you guys haven't left yet, but what has it really taught you about yourself so far?
Ivo, you're as the engineer.
It's taught us a lot, to be fair. I mean, we're pretty chaotic is how I classify ourselves. But even through the chaos, we've managed to get quite a lot of stuff done. So it's weird. Like none of us, well, I'm meant to be the engineer of the group. I'm not trained in any of these things at all. Sort of picked up CAD a couple of days ago to try and design one of these tuk-tuks. And it's sort of, yeah, I guess it's cheesy to say, but yeah, throw yourself at it and give yourself a deadline. And a lot of the time you can pull through quite a lot of pretty amazing stuff. Obviously, we have had help from some incredible technicians and welders here because, I mean, none of us can weld or anything. Mm. But I don't know. It's been interesting about us. And like these two who've been in charge of our fundraising have been doing incredible jobs. I mean, they've been on conference calls with some fairly powerful people. And you sort of look at the two of them and you're like, that's actually, you've really pulled your weight somehow out of absolutely nowhere.
like, we didn't really have any clout before. We are just a bunch of mates who bought some tuk-tuks and are about to drive and do a pretty ridiculous adventure. But I don't know, it's getting traction. We're getting contacted, all these cold emails that we sent out, and we're getting contacted by sort of main telecoms companies in Kenya. We're getting, like, it's weird. It's sort of a case of throw yourself at it, expose yourself bare, and see if people will like it. And so far they have. It's nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I think when you have a cause as well, it's like, you know, people see, oh, okay, this is something, if I can help, I can, it's, you know, you can be a part of it in some way, right? And that's what we're trying to do here, is share this so other people can, listening, can be a part of this if they want. And I encourage you to do that. Yeah, if you go to tuksouth.com, then you can get the links to your, what do you have, a Just Giving page, I believe, and place where you can make the donations for the Rangers. Yeah, but I'll let you guys pass the mic and answer. Keep answering the question. You're not going to get out of this one.
No, but thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Jason.
You are a champion.
We love you.
No problem. Thank you. Oh, I'm blushing. No. Yeah, I mean, well, how about you, Jasper? I mean, what has this whole experience taught you so far?
It's taught me that you can realistically combine a sense of adventure as well as a positive impact on the world, if you like dig into causes that matter a lot, and especially I think Africa is very topical for Kenya especially. Since I mean, when I was a kid, I saw huge areas of forest that don't exist anymore. I've seen where this house is right now, there used to be lions and leopards when I was a kid. They're none anymore. So it's very tangible that. Rangers are a necessity, and protecting Africa really is one of the last true wildernesses of the world. And there is a feel like the emptiness, and there's such a raw feeling with it. And the fact that this mission can help the continent that I really love, as well as also splicing in just adventure. I love adventure. I love the concept that we can go down, we can go fishing on our way down, we can catch our own food, we can go climb mountains, we can do some treks through jungles. And in doing so, we can find all of these interesting figures involved in conservation and all these interesting conservation projects and sustainability projects along the way, give them coverage, help them out, and in doing so, help us out a bit, as well as having a brilliant time. And I think there's legs for us to just follow this story a lot longer than maybe just even this trip to Cape Town. What I'd really love to do, and I think these guys are on board now, is take the tuk-tuks to Patagonia afterwards and drive the tuk-tuks from Patagonia to Alaska and just follow again the same sort of like sustainability stories, conservation stories, eco stories, as well as just having documenting the adventure as a whole.
Oh man, do you have an extra seat in the tuk-tuk?
Come join. We'll have a fleet of them. Yeah.
On the road podcast.
And also, they're so eco. You referenced earlier the consideration, and I've felt it a lot in that, especially on big road trips we do here in four-wheel drives. You do have this sense of guilt that, wow, the carbon footprint of this trip is actually quite big. However, with a tuk-tuk, our tuk-tuk does 35 kilometers to the liter. It will take for us to get drive the 6,000 kilometers. It would be like
in two vehicles,
it'd be about 360 liters, which in one of these big safari cars in Kenya, they'll use in like a week. And that, yeah. Wow. So that's why they're brilliant machines. Very uncomfortable, but brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, you could have picked any mode of transportation, right? Was the tuk-tuk thing... Why the tuk-tuk? Was it just a hook? Like, oh my gosh, well, this is something that'll catch people's attention just because of the physical.
There was a little bit of that, Jason,
nature.
We'll be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. We knew when you see a tuk-tuk drive by.
It's not for the comfort.
It puts a smile on people's faces. Like when we're driving down the street here and people see us go by, there is a look of bewilderment and joy is what I describe it as. And that's actually like when we're driving these tuk-tuks. And if you think about it, we are a camera crew, essentially. We're going down to tell stories. That's what we're doing. But most of the camera crews that will be traveling through these communities will be rocking up in these giant 4x4s. All the doors are closed. They can whistle along the tarmac at 120 kilometers an hour to get to the destinations to film. There's not that much involvement with the surrounding community. we're going to be breaking down and popping tires every 50 kilometers. We're going to be, the doors are all open on our tuk-tuks. We'll be having chapatis and stuff thrown in, exchanging money for goods and services. Like, we're going to be very much like embedded in the communities that we're traveling through and being a part of. And I think word will get around about, like, you know, this weird camera crew that's going around following these cool stories, and that we can just develop a bit of a personality for the tuk-tuk. Because I think what they have is a real personality. A tuk-tuk does.
Yeah, I mean, like, do they have a name? Bang, bang. Speaking of that, have you named these things yet?
We haven't. In fact, we might be able to say a world's first announcement. We may be putting the names of the tuk-tuks up for auction. So you got that to look forward to.
Oh, good idea.
Although that could end
the zero to travel tuk-tuk.
Pardon?
The zero to travel tuk-tuk?
Oh, you can put a bit in, Jason. You can put a bit in.
I might have to put a bit in for that. Yeah, and the fact that people will probably be able to walk next to it while you're driving by will really connect to your community as
super
well.
Slow.
Bicycles given will be overtaken.
How fast they are. Now, let me... all right, so, yeah, I did a job once around the U.S. where I was driving a... it was a van, but the outside, they used a fiberglass shell to create a giant looking tabby cat.
No, so,
you know,
way.
Maybe you guys want to, maybe the engineer wants to put an elephant or a giraffe or something around the tuk-tuk. I don't know. I've just thrown out.
You were driving a giant cat around America.
Yeah. You know, I mean, and I drove a double-decker bus as well.
Amazing.
You know, a proper British double-decker bus that went very slow and broke down all the time. So I can relate to, you know, the sort of, hey, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
What's going on? You know, on a different scale, I guess. But anyway.
You'll be faster than us. Ours maxes out at 25 miles an hour, I think. Unless we're going down a hill with the wind behind us.
Yeah. The bus went about 44 miles an hour. Oh, I'm not sure what that is. Damn. Kilometers.
America's a big place.
Did you have parties in the bus? Yeah. Why did you have a bus?
Oh, that's another story. We don't know. Focus on your story. All right. And then you're going to make the documentary. I want to talk to you guys after this trip. I mean, I imagine, well, you'll put the documentary out, so I'm sure you'll have some audio and different things like that. I'd like to have you guys back on after you've taken
that
journey and hear about it.
Thank you so much.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, are you down?
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
For sure. Okay.
As soon as we get to Cape Town, we won't even shower first. We'll give you a ring.
Let's not get carried away. I mean, you can take your showers, okay? We'll get back to the interview in just a moment. Here's a quick powerful exercise. If you think about one or two of your big goals, and then you fast forward a few months from now, what can you do right now to give yourself the best chance of succeeding? If one of those goals for you is learning a new language or even just a little bit of a language to enhance your next trip, you should absolutely get Babbel. They have quick 10-minute lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts. You can actually start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations, exactly what you want as a traveler. I just downloaded it and went into the Norwegian course area thinking, oh, I've got this. Immediately made a bunch of grammar mistakes that they corrected, and I was like, oh, I've been doing this wrong. So I'm already leveling up and learning. And you can get Babbel now. Here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/zero to travel. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/zero to travel, spelled babbel.com/zero to travel. Rules and restrictions may apply. Thank you to Babbel for supporting today's show. Hey, Jason here. Did you know we have a free weekly newsletter over at zerototravel.com/newsletter? I put my heart and soul into this newsletter and love keeping in touch with listeners off the podcast. That's where you can find out about all of the latest and greatest events, trips we're planning, and of course, you're going to get money-saving travel tips, destination advice, all kinds of stuff to provide value and help you add more travel into your life. So why not sign up? Again, totally free, no cost at all. zerototravel.com/newsletter. Excited to welcome you into that community. Thanks for listening. Now, back to the show. Yeah, I mean, anything else you guys want to share about this project? Because now would be the time to kind of get behind this if you're listening, because you guys are just about to go on this adventure. I love that you combined adventure and conservation. Sounds like some core values that you guys have. And I just find it inspiring that, you know, you're not just like, hey, well, we're just going to make, you know, cool travel TikTok videos, but we're going to actually like have sort of a mission behind this and combine some of our values and try to be the change.
Yeah.
It's always inspiring to me. So I just want to give you guys props for just doing something about it, you know, and something pretty damn cool as far as I'm concerned. So, yeah, I mean, just let people know once again, like what the best way is to kind of support this project and how people can get in touch if you want them to do so. I don't know if you guys are. Yeah.
Okay. So we have an email address, if that's useful. So we're willing to give that out, I think.
Yeah.
So can contact us. We're called tucksouthcrew@gmail.com. And Tuck is just T-U-K. And then our socials, we have a YouTube, which is Tuck South. And then the TikTok channel that we post on is my TikTok. So that's just @JoshPorters. And that's where we'll be posting our TikToks of the Tuk Tuk journey.
But all of the hyperlinks on the...
on the website, yeah. So if you go on tucksouth.com, everything is there. And yeah, literally any donation at all. At the minute, after 3 weeks of hard graft, we're on to $750 in the Just Giving account. And we're hoping it will spike initially when we got on the trip.
Yeah, once but literally, the content comes
if out. You've got a fiver or a tenner or anything like that, and you're willing to, you want to put it towards, you know, some people who have got an incredibly dangerous job. Like you've had 1,000 of these guys get killed since 2003, and now they're putting it all on the line on a seriously reduced wage. Then we'd really appreciate literally any donation to the Tuck South Just Giving Fund.
And yeah, yes. 100% of that donation, if you're doing our Just Giving, all of that goes to the Rangers.
They do.
Like we don't take a single cut out of any of that. So there are two little things. I mean, we've got a more jokey one for ourselves. If you feel like chucking us a couple of quid, you can buy us a spanner,
yeah.
Which is, it's just a sort of buy me a coffee link and it's sort of like $3 at a time. But it would be great if anyone could chuck into the Just Giving for Rangers site. Because yeah, they do really need it. Like it's amazing how hard these guys work. They're up all night using night vision goggles to look after rhinos just in case they get poached in the pitch dark. And it's a really tough job. And they're not the poster child. You always hear about the elephant, the rhino, but like the only reason that thing's alive anymore is because of these guys. Like the poaching levels, and I mean, you just have to look at any biodiversity levels. They're dropping, like we're in a mass extinction event, and that's because of humans. And these guys are directly frontline stopping that from happening. So instead of donating a fiver to an elephant charity, donate to the guy who protects everything, who protects the smaller species from the sort of ducks, the frogs, the elephants, to up to gorillas even.
Protect the ducks.
Baby ducks and the frogs. Tree frogs need protection, okay? But yeah, they're just really cool guys. So yeah, any little would help on that.
Well said, and I am going to make a donation after we get off this.
Jason.
So I want everybody listening to do the same if you're in the giving mood, and let's have you guys back when all this stuff's done.
We can put a sticker on, Jason, as well. We can put a Zero to Travel sticker on if you want.
Listen, if I had some stickers, I'd send them to you.
We can make it. We just need the JPEG.
There you go. I'll send it along. And I just wish you guys the best of luck. Be safe out there and don't try not to roll over at all. I hope the engineer who just downloaded CAD for the first time 2 days ago does a good enough job to
we'll keep you posted on that.
Supported. At least you have comfortable seats and proper seat belts. So
That's
good. But I'm really curious to hear, you know, how it all goes and how the adventure comes together and what it's like having those conversations in the communities and where it all ends up for you guys. So let me know how I can help. If anybody's listening, feels like they can help in some other ways, you have the email address and we will, you know, put all those links and whatnot in the show notes. So that way you can get in touch. Are you still looking for sponsors and different things like that?
I mean, yeah. So basically we've been emailing people saying, if you put $400 into the Just Giving, then we'll stick your company logo on the tuk-tuk. So we're really selling ourselves. But yeah, if anyone's interested in that, then they can email us and we'll get their sticker on there, a nice prominent position, and you'll be featured in hopefully millions of views online and in the documentary.
And the TikToks on the way down, and YouTube's on the way down.
Mm. And if you're auctioning off the TikToks, I guess you'll put that on your website or something, or the TikToks.
It's confusing. It's very confusing.
Tuk-tuk's on TikTok. Yeah, I know. It's the Tuk-tuk name. Yeah. That might be something. So anyway, just get in touch, stay in touch, and follow these guys. And yeah, have a good time also. guys.
Thank you, Jason.
Cheers, Jason. Much appreciated, man.
Great to talk to you.
Let's hook up again when you get back.
Yeah. Yeah, well, cool. We've got some adventure stories for you.
All right. Take care.
All right.
See you. Bye. Bye.
There you have it. My chat with the fellas, Jasper, Josh, and Ivo. I love the energy over there coming out of that apartment or house, wherever they were. They were fantastic to chat with, and what a wonderful project. Don't forget to check them out. I have the various links here in the show notes. Look forward to getting back in touch with them and hearing how things went. Hopefully those tuk-tuks don't roll over. Man, stay safe out there, guys. This brought up an idea during the interview that I wanted to share here before I let you go, and then I'll leave you with a quote as well. I started getting this mental picture of a personal radius that we all have, right? That it can extend as far out as we want. But maybe if we shrink that personal radius, where we're located, if you're not traveling right now, maybe you're in your hometown or the place of residence where you live, or maybe you're living somewhere for a year. I don't know. Whatever the case is, you have your own personal radius, right? The community within which you exist. And within that community, there are issues. There are things that might need help. There are things that you can do to contribute. And this is something that, of course, keeps coming up in the show and something I think about a lot. Living here as a foreigner in Norway, how can I contribute to my local community? What can I do that's making more of an impact? These are good questions to ask. I try to do little things here and there, but I don't always have the answers. I love what these guys are doing. It's super inspiring to me to see them putting together a grand adventure around travel and something they love and just getting out there and making a difference. And within our personal radius, I think that's a manageable place. If you're talking about a square kilometer, a square 5 kilometers or mile, 5 square miles around you, whatever, what can we do? What can one person do to be the change? And it's not that we all need to be doing something all the time, but we're all citizens of this world. And at some point, it's good to take some personal responsibility. Whether you consider yourself a leader or not, I don't think matters. What matters is just what's in your heart, and deciding to contribute sometimes means getting into uncomfortable spaces, much like travel, right? You're putting yourself into a situation where you maybe have to speak in front of people, or maybe you have to put yourself out there or send an email, or make a phone call that you wouldn't like to make because it's scary, but there's something near and dear to your heart in your vicinity, in your radius, that you want to do something about to help improve. We can't all as individuals make huge, gigantic impacts on the world like a Gandhi or something like that. But we can do a lot as individuals. And this, I think, was a stark reminder for me. I'm asking myself these questions as well. I'm not preaching to you. These are things that are running through my mind and things I'm trying to get my head around here. And I just think it's helpful as a reminder to share, because if enough people step up across the world in their own radius, their own little personal radius of whatever you define that, and then those radiuses start overlapping and connecting, next thing you know, obviously we're all connected and everything is interconnected. So think about that. Just something to ponder as we exit another lovely podcast episode here on Zero to Travel. What can we do within our radius? And let's all ponder that together. I appreciate your presence here. Appreciate your time listening to the show. Appreciate that you are a part of this listening community. Please get in touch anytime. Love your feedback on the show. You can recommend some guests. Just share your story. Let me know what you're up to. Let me know what's going on in your world. I'd love to hear from you. Do that if you keep putting it off and you've been thinking about it. Like John, who wrote me an email that I gave a shout out to earlier. He said, I've been thinking about writing for a while, and I'm finally doing it. So if that's you, get in touch. Leave me a voicemail. Drop me a line. And thanks for being a part of this whole deal we have going on over here. All right, I'll leave you with a quote along the lines of a personal radius that gave me the mental image of a circle around my physical body overlaid over my area. And then I found this quote from the Tao Te Ching that said, "Stay at the center of the circle and let all things take their course." A lot of ways to interpret that. But I'll leave you with that quote. Thank you so much for your time today. And I'll see you next time. Peace and love to you and yours. Take care. Cheers.
This podcast has been brought to you by ZeroToTravel.com. Ideas and advice to make your travel dreams a reality.